Our Sunday school lesson today is entitled The Way of Salvation. And our devotional background study comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 16, 17, and 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us in pride, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, let's go to our class.
Sunday school classes are kind of informal. You got anything you want to say, just jump right in. It might be better than what I got to say. Last week, we were talking about the article today. Last week, we discussed our firm belief that there is now and always has been, since the beginning of time almost, sin in this world. We believe that. And that through man's willful transgressions, we are all born in sin. And we believe that. Born and sin in this world. And if we fail to act on that fact, we're doomed to an eternal damnation. Now that's what our lesson was last week. But in today's lesson, we are going to study a loving God, or study about a loving God, who has a plan for us to return into His fellowship. And it's based on Article 4. We believe, I'll read this, we believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon Him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by His personal obedience, and by His death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, He is now enthroned in heaven and united in His wonderful person, the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections. He is every way qualified to be suitable, compassionate, and also sufficient Savior. That's out of our Pendleton's manual. Our reading lesson is in the second chapter of Ephesians. This is Paul writing to those in Ephesus. And we are finding here that God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that man was going to sin, knew that he was going to fall, and with His love provided a way back. And if it hadn't been for that love, where would we be this day? If it hadn't been that God loved His creation. But let's read it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. In other words, that could be better translated, for His great love with which He loved us. Now this begins God's response to man's sinful nature. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive, together with Christ, and there's a principle here, by grace are you saved. Now, Paul, I guess, just kind of threw that in there. wanting to know or wanting to let us know where he's going with this. Now, grace is just unmerited favor. It's something that God is filled with and has given us. And we're not deserving. We're not deserving of anything that we receive from God. But thank goodness he loved us enough that he wanted to provide for us a way back. And his grace that he's provided for us is the path that we are searching for. We're all looking for, or we all have been looking for that. Those of us who have been saved have found that grace and that mercy that he bestowed upon us, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. This is God's unconditional love that he shows to man. That's what it is. It's amazing to me when I think of the love that God has for his creation. Now, I know we understand what love is. We have people we love. And we have our spouses, our children, our friends, that we all have a special affection for. But I believe with all my heart that that affection that we have for one another doesn't even touch the surface of how God loves us, his creation. Does not even scratch the surface, because God, remember, gave up his only begotten Son for us. Now, let me ask you, could you do that? Would you be able to do that? I mean, that's a thought. Let's compare ourselves. There's no comparison. When we talk about God's love for us, what he did for us, and we can be as kind-hearted and as loving as anybody here on the face of this earth, but it will not stand up. Not in the least. And he said, well, let me talk a little more about this unconditional love. Unconditional means that doesn't make any difference who or what you are. You know, we like to think that God loves us because those of us who have been saved are his children. And I like to think that God loves us. But you know, he loves us just as much as he loves us. He does. If you go over into, we all know this, John 3:16. Well, let's back up into the 15th verse. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's whosoever, that means everybody, anybody, whosoever. I mean, that covers us all. There's not a predetermined amount of people that he has picked that might be saved. He said, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's amazing. That's amazing. To me, it is truly amazing that God loved us enough, be we saint or sinner, his love is unconditional. And he wants to give everybody that opportunity to come to him. Because it says here, it is a gift of God, and he's wanting to give it. He's wanting to give it to his people, to the world. But listen to this, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could work our way into heaven, I don't think Jesus would have really had to die. If we could just work, do our own thing, put ourselves into heaven, then there was no reason for Jesus to die. Yet the world today, I think, more so than not, believe that you can work your way into heaven. And there are people, and I've had people in my own family, that thought that works to get them into heaven. And I'm sure we all know people who are like that. Not a works lest any man can boast. If we could boast, I mean, if we could work our way in and we could begin to boast about it, then we could say we have earned our way into heaven. I never earned my way into heaven. We found up here Paul said that it was a gift. And you don't earn a gift. That's freely given. That's what a gift is. It's a freely given a present to you. And we as God's people understand that. But there are people this morning around Nashville and Middle Tennessee and really the world who think that they can on their own charm themselves into heaven by doing good. Now, I'm not saying these people aren't doing good. I think there's a lot of good going on in the world. There's a lot of people out there that are doing good works. And I'll be the first to admit they're doing more good works than what I am, because I'm not out there doing what some of these people are, taking care of orphans, feeding the poor, doing things that I would look upon and say, that is a really good work. And they are doing much more than what I am. One of the differences I find in those people are that there's an ulterior motive to their works. Maybe and maybe not. I'm judging too much. But a lot of them are hoping that balances the scales out against their sinful nature, that it balances out the scale and God will look upon them and welcome them home because of what they've done. Now, I really don't know where they get that. If they have this Bible, if they have the scriptures to read and to understand, I don't understand where they come up with that, because throughout the Bible we find God's message that is through repentance. It's not just a mind change here. It's a heartfelt, deep in your soul relationship that you firm up with God through your repentance. And you know, it's hard for me to put into words, even though that occurred to me. It happened when I was 7 years old. Y'all, I tell this all the time, and I know you probably do. But as a 7-year-old boy, I hadn't lived a life of sin. I was just 7 years old. Getting home in the world and everything was good. Until that morning, Fountain Ray pointed his finger at me and I felt condemned. And it hit me. It hit me hard. And I bowed down and God saved my soul. I didn't do anything. All I did was ask Him to save my soul. I didn't go out and start doing a lot of work. I didn't do anything. So I'm telling you this morning, not boasting God, but I know what God requires. And I'm not boasting, but I know what He requires because I experienced it. And I'll tell anybody, I didn't. There wasn't anything good. I didn't have any money. The only thing I did was I picked up bench. And I asked God to save my soul. And why He did, I don't know. But there was a change that came on for me. And we've all experienced it. We know what that means. Not a word, so say in making bold. I didn't do a thing to ask God to save my soul. And He did. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, Paul's kind of getting into this letter now. He's kind of getting into our carnal feelings one to the other. Remember, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, which was a mixture, I think, of Gentiles, who were us, Gentiles, and Jews. And there was some contention at that in the early church about whether you were of circumcision, which would be Jews, or you were of the uncircumcision, which would be the Gentiles. And that was kind of I hate to say derogatory terms, but we've called those people names before. We put labels on people, and that evidently is going on here. There's a little contention between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul has written this letter to try and explain that we are all one in the eyes of God. Be we Jews, be we Gentiles. Be we saved, be we unsaved. In that spirit, God looks upon us all as his creation, and he looks upon us all with his love. No matter who we are, no matter what name we carry in this life, God loves us. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, you know who crucified him? The Jews crucified him. His own people crucified him. The Gentiles were kind of far off. They were considered paganistic. They were considered uncircumcised. And they were kind of they were unclean. The Jews weren't even supposed to have anything to do with it. But Jesus died for us all. He didn't just die for the Jews. He died for everybody, no matter who you were. And that's what Paul is telling him. He said, listen, Jesus went to the cross and he died, and he made us all one. You were that are far off. Well, let me read out. I might be getting a little ahead of myself here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood. In other words, you who were far off are made nigh. You're drawn in. You're drawn into this family here. We're no longer Jews and Gentiles, and you stay apart. You don't have anything to do with one another. That's not what Jesus died for. Jesus died to make us all one, to be in one mind, in one accord, no matter what or where we come from. And that's the same today. No matter, you know, we could be rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't make any difference. If you want to come into this church and you want to serve God, you're more than welcome. And that's what it ought to be. We ought to be of one mind on this now. Whoever comes to the doors, if they want to serve God and serve Him in the right way, they ought to be made well. Because God loves them just as much as He loves us. And we're not here set apart. We're here to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Entire world. We're not here to present the gospel to those of us who are sitting here this morning. This gospel is free for everybody, no matter who they are. And that's just what Paul is telling them. This is, you know, we're not to be divided. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's just what I've just read. It's kind of just what I've just explained. He's broken down the wall between his people who had once been apart. He's taken that down. There's not a wall there anymore. And Christ on the cross fulfilled all that God had planned, Jesus fulfilled. And now mankind is open to pray to Jesus that he might intercede on our behalf to God and that mankind might be saved. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred that's been between us. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross and remain the enmity thereof, thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were not. That's the statement of this gospel. It's to go far and near. He came to preach peace to you which were afar off. He's kind of talking about the Gentiles there. You know, Paul was a missionary. He was carrying this message, and he was carrying it to the Gentiles. But he said this message was to go to them that are far off and to you that are nigh. And I think he was talking about, you know, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. The Jews were nigh. They had been around this their whole existence. But the Gentiles were gradually being brought into this because of wall and barrier. And there was still a lot of discussion about it. You know, at one point the Jews felt that the Gentiles ought to be circumcised. Well, you know, that's a little harsh, but that's what they felt. And you know, it kind of tore the church up a little bit, and it had to be handled, and it was handled. It was straightforwardly handled, and. So there was some contention that was going on in the early church between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul had a lot of explaining to do as he went on his missionary, missionary work and carried this message, because where he went there were both Jews and Gentiles. And came and preached peace to you which were far off to them that were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That kind of sums it up right there. For through him we both have access to one Spirit. You know, God is here for everyone. He was there for me. He was there for you. And he will be there for the next person. And seeks repentance. He'll be there for them too, even until the end of time. Now, I don't believe for a minute that Jesus is going to come back to this earth and establish and give people another chance. This is our chance, right here. We have this opportunity to teach the world what the Scriptures say, because obviously there's people out there that don't understand what the Scriptures say, because obviously there's people out there that are trying to get to heaven in some other way than what these Scriptures teach. So it's our responsibility to tell all that come what the Scriptures truly say. And that's why we're here this morning. And that's why Brother Maggard, if it's God's will, he's going to stand and he's going to preach. That could be somebody to come in that would hear this, that would heed this warning. There might be a lost person here this morning. That heed what the Scriptures tell them. And they might take an opportunity to be saved. And that's what we're here for this morning. We're here praying to God to give them honor and glory and see if that message gets out. There are no walls, no barriers. It doesn't make any difference who they are. It doesn't make any difference what they believe. If they can believe that Jesus is the Son of God and they can fall down somewhere and find him everlasting to their soul, they're just as good a person as what you are. Just as good, no matter who they are. No matter that, you know, is it the second Sunday of this month, Brother Paul Wasson? I got that in the bulletin today, but I don't know if I spoke it this time. He's going to be here and preach. He's from there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely amazing that there's going going to be a guy that's going to stand in this pulpit right here, and he's going to preach from his scriptures, and he's going to tell us about that. And he's from Africa. That's just thrilled my soul to know that that message is not just here at Rose and Burbank. It is not just here. And I believe with all my heart, you, that God will meet with us here at this place. And he's done it several times. And I believe he'll do it today if we just all give him a lot of prayer. But it is amazing that this message has come around the world. Brother Owasu was going to be here to preach. And who was the other one you had? We had another one. I can't remember what his name was.
No, Sam.
Yeah, Sam. Yeah. That was a great day that we had. And I expect to have more great days because God is love. God can fill this hall over here this morning with his love. And I believe you will, so, Brother Owasu, this is my special blessing. I believe. And I pray that we all will take heed that we're not special. I know that we say we're peculiar. I understand, but we're not special people. We're not better than anybody else. We're the same type of God. That's all we are. We're not better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by the mercy of God. So we don't have anything at all about anybody. We have a message to get out to the world that God is in the saving business, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. God is there. God's love. And he will love you, and he will guide you in your life. That's my Sunday school lesson. Does anybody have anything they want to say?
Two brief things. My parenthetical expression, a couple of parentheses, but grace, you're saved. Where, as you pointed out, so many people in the world are really pleased to believe works in some way or another attached to giving a place in heaven. And yet, this sets it aside. It's just grace. And the way that I understand it, some people think grace is that grace is given when you've done enough works.
Yeah.
It's not a free gift. But it's very difficult for those that believe in works to deal with this when they just look at really what grace is, their faith with God. Because they have to reject, well, you have to obey the gospel. I believe in obeying the gospel when the Bible says to repent and have faith unto the salvation of your soul. And if they do that, then they have a platform by which they can start to do acceptable good works in the sight of God. But the salvation through the free gift has to come first before the works are acceptable. Except a lot of people do a lot of things, at least in the house, and then we're good. But in the last God, they're not considered good because they don't count any souls in their name. That little expression, my gracious study, has a great impact on me. Other one on me, the 14th verse is a little wall of tradition. Historically, the temple mount was built to be the basement for the temple, of course. And on the outer banks of the temple mount, Gentiles were allowed to come. And this order has been shown with facts that have been recovered and archaeologically, that there was a wall that was about 2 cubits, which would be about 3 feet wide, that surrounded, or at least set off the outer court where the Gentiles were allowed. And those plaques are put up there, a warning to the Gentiles that if they went beyond that wall, the Colossians were to go through. But and through the bottom of the cross. But the warning was that if you go across that or Gentile would cross, that they were subject to death. Because it was not allowed for the Gentiles to use the confusion within the confines of that wall. And then the Jews in the that middle wall partition and have reverence for that Temple Mount separating the Gentiles from the Jews. And so, as you're saying, I mean, you know, we put up walls all kind of black and white or Hispanic and Caucasian or, you know, whatever it is, you know, we put up these biases and difficulties that we have with other people, kind of these favorite ways, I think, in some other identifying situation. You know, maybe we don't want to identify with street people, and we don't want to identify with prostitutes. I think that certainly in a moral sense, that's not something that we need to do. But God provided that through Jesus, everybody has the availability to them. And we should have the love, be it the message to them, even though we don't like what they do or the actions they take, that the gospel is still available to them just as much as what it does for really Christian homes.
That's right. And, you know, Jesus is in the Father. So, whomever it was, right? Whatever it was, he had a problem. Some of those around him had a problem. He never had a problem. And we all take a lesson. We'll not have a problem. Another thing that came to my mind about grace, you know, and work. There are people who don't necessarily believe in works, but they believe in something like God. It says, I believe that Jesus is something. Well, I don't think in my mind across the fact that when I said, you know, that's what I believe. But that didn't do a thing. And people, you know, you get stuck in your hat and have sinful problems. Sign is false. We'll repeat this and this. There's a whole plenty of things that, people use, try, and use. And it makes a lot more difficult to come through. I mean, it's not easy to reach that for God's own children. That's the Lord wants you there, Jesus Christ. So, and this is the same as Lord. You've got to reach that point. And that's what we're going to bring in this. Anybody else? I don't know what all I pray for. I just know what I said before. I don't know what happened. I said, Lord, here I am. I said, 7 years old, I still remember, Lord, here I am. I don't remember anything. We had to do. If I had a card they wanted me to sign, that's what it had to say, because that's what it took. Thank goodness it's just not signed. Thank goodness I have parents that carry me to a place. That's all. Anyone else? Don, would you dismiss us?
Right.